Municipal Utility Commission meeting to order. Today is Monday, May 8th, 11:46. A couple of housekeeping items. I want to make sure that our attorney, Robert Scott, is on the line with us.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Also, I need to appoint an acting secretary for today's meeting, being that Commissioner Maboub is gone. I'm wondering if Commissioner Holtz would accept that.
I do.
Very good. And one other item, if everybody could make sure to maybe refresh their iPads one more time. We've had a couple more updates come out this morning. Make sure that you've got the most current minutes and so forth. With that, I would be looking for any changes to the agenda that anybody might have. If not, we can take a look at the consent agenda, including the minutes from our last commission meeting on April 24th, payment of bills in the amount of $408,000 for the last 2 weeks. And again, John, do you see anything there that is worth pointing out by chance?
Commissioner Manor, no. All routine.
Okay. Everything looks straightforward there. I did have a chance to review that as well. So with that, I would look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any discussion or questions? Beth, if you could do roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
And that passes. Item number two, we're looking for approval of the minutes from the May 4th work session. And that has been updated. Now, if we take a look at the minutes here in the agenda. A couple of items that I do want to point out from that, where we do have a couple of changes. If we look under the section of financial assistance, the third paragraph down, item number two, where we're talking about, the previous version was talking about the power supply contract data from Burns and McDonald. That actually was a David Berg rate study, and that now should be reflected in those minutes. So I want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. The next paragraph down, we made a couple of changes to the last two sentences. If we take a look at the approximate annual savings, that also included kind of the presumption of the power plant being shut down. The discussion, however, that we wanted to add is that we are only at this time considering decommissioning the district heat, and any future changes with the power plant would be a future discussion. So I wanted to make sure that that clarity was added there, and that has now been done. So I want to make sure that everybody's aware of that. And to add one more piece of clarity on that study, if we could go back to item number two, there was a little bit of confusion with the Burns and McDonald study for the net present value, the 20-year net present value. That had nothing to do with rates, and so I wanted to make sure that that clarity had been had as well. With that, hopefully everybody's had a chance to review those minutes, and I would be looking for a motion for approval on those minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the work session minutes from May 4th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that passes. Item number 2A, we're looking at approving a tentative financial assistance program and timeline. This is listed in two sections in your iPads here. First of all, we have the redlined version, which kind of compares the original version that we took a look at during the meeting last week, as well as a secondary kind of clean copy of what's all been changed. I want to make sure that everybody's had a chance to review that, including the updated timeline. One note of change in that timeline, due to the decommissioning deadline that we had been considering, we have pushed that out one more year from 2019 to 2020. Again, this is only potential at this time. This is the date that's being presented to customers and contractors to see if this is workable for those folks. If they come back to us and say that it's not, before we make any final decisions, we do have some flexibility to make changes there if we need to. But the recommendation at this point is to look at maybe considering July 1st of 2020 as the date that we're suggesting to those folks. So with the items that are listed here, again, I'd be looking for a motion to approve the financial assistance program as it's outlined and the tentative timeline schedule as well.
By pushing that district heating date out one more year, what does that do for our maintenance on the system. We're going to have to do some maintenance on it to keep it going that extra year, or what's the...
My understanding, and we can go to Mr. Bregelman on this as well, but my understanding is that the maintenance would be just the typical annual maintenance. I don't believe that we're looking at any large expenditures, but maybe Mr. Bregelman has some additional comments.
I'd say that 1 year, we probably wouldn't be looking at doing much upgrading. We should be on that. There would be additional stuff that we have put on. So, you know, we had talked about $50,000 possibly extra at that time.
Okay.
For the 1 year. See more, go further.
Okay.
Again, I'd be looking for a motion for approval.
I have a question for you there.
Yes.
My question is by approving this before we've made a decision, are we getting the cart in front of the horse? Should we be looking, making a decision before we approve this plan?
Well, again, part of this particular plan is this has to be approved and ready before we can actually make a decision to decommission District Heat. So in terms of the outline that we need to follow in order to be able to take that step, this actually does need to come first. Noting that this timeline that's listed here again is continuing the process of meeting with contractors, staff, and customers to make sure that we're following the correct procedures.
Yeah, this is just to approve the timeline, and in this timeline we also have a public hearing.
That's correct.
As far as when about just continuing the District Heat. And
again, this is not a final decision. This is just approving the preliminaries to continue to move towards that direction. So again, I would ask for a motion for approval on this.
So move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further questions or discussion on either the financial assistance program or the timeline as proposed?
Commissioner Mattern, if I may speak?
Yes.
Shortly, briefly. Just want to point out again that based on commission discussion at the work session, we updated this to reflect a 2020, which pushes it out one more year, our proposal, which would push it out. So that's a date we will take then to our contractors. We have our contractor meeting tomorrow, and Centerpoint will be here, and followed up by our customer meeting next week. And we will ask them if that date is manageable for them. So.
As I understand, this final or latest draft that we're looking at, our attorney Robert Scott will also be reviewing one last time to make sure that we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's, correct?
That would be correct. The steps that are required that we follow have not changed since Mr. Scott reviewed this. However, the financial assistance program has changed, and with the updates that we made on Friday for the agenda here have not been reviewed by Mr. Scott. So after today's meeting, if the commission adopts this financial assistance program as well as the tentative schedule, we'll be in contact with Mr. Scott to make sure that we don't need any minor adjustments to it, as well as starting to prepare the resolutions for our May 22nd meeting. So
we should note that the financial assistance program is subject to one further review by the attorney then?
Correct.
Okay. Any additional questions or points of discussion? All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that passes. Item number 3, we're looking for an approval of a resolution to waive the statutory insurance liability limits, and I'll pass that over to Denise.
Thank you. This is an annual waiver that we do a resolution on when we renew our insurance each year. In the past, we have elected to not waive the statutory limits. So I'm just looking for a resolution from the commission to, again, not waive the statutory requirements for our insurance liability.
Thank you, Denise. And again, this is something we do every year. It's pretty common practice. All right, I would be looking for that resolution.
I'll make a resolution to not, let me make sure I get this right, resolution to not waive statutory insurance liability limits.
Second.
All right, we have a resolution and a second. Any questions or discussion? All right, Beth, if you could do roll.
Okay. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
Bleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes. Thank you. Item number four, information review. We're going to take a look at the March 2017 power supply report. Michelle.
Power supply comparison page between March 2016 and 2017. March's power supply cost was $44.16 per megawatt hour, which is a 6% increase from last year. Transmission costs in 2017 were $55,181.28 higher than in 2016. Also, energy purchases in March of 2017 were $20,751.46 higher than in 2016. That was due to higher real-time and day-ahead LNG prices in 2017. Looking right below it, budget versus actual bar graph, March's actuals were 7.6% above the budget for March. And turning to the next page, looking at the real-time LNP averages in March, they were $21.08, which is $5.53 higher than in 2016. The next graph, the day-ahead LNPs, were $22.20, which is $6.98 higher than last year. Finally, the gas prices in March were at $3.92 a dekatherm. April was at $4.09 a dekatherm, and May is also at $4.09 a dekatherm.
Just one question, Mr. Chair. I guess the question I have is, we really bottomed out last year, and I don't remember, was there something that happened that caused that we were aware of, or is it just the way markets flow?
With the LNP crisis, correct?
Yeah.
Nothing that I that we really noticed just that the market was
just down.
Yeah,
because we had several months there, probably from January all the way to, it started coming up in July during peak season, but yeah, it was down quite a bit, so.
And that's where, kind of where we are currently, but, and it's a market price, so.
Yeah, okay.
Everything is different.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah, to Commissioner Holt's point there, it does look like a bit of an anomaly last year, but can't predict the markets. The next item, wind turbine report. Mr. Volkadal.
Thank you, Mr. President, Commissioners. If you look at this month's wind turbine production report, you'll see some changes. Most specifically and obviously, there's a large gap here for the 2016 numbers are not reported. It came to light that there were different numbers being reported in different venues with respect to production from the wind turbines. The wind turbine numbers previously were extracted directly from the meter on the switch gears in the turbines. However, this number differs slightly from the SCADA numbers that were available here in the utility on the computer system. And that raised some questions, and so the decision was made to revise the location for obtaining reporting numbers to the SCADA system available throughout the Wilmer Municipal Computer System. The difference is that the numbers available here on the SCADA system are slightly lower than those directly obtained from the wind turbines. So the 2017 numbers have been revised slightly downward, and compared to previous years, they will seem to be a little bit lower. But again, it's just the difference between meters and measurement reporting locations. So unless the commissioner directs otherwise, we will continue to collect and report the data from the SCADA system. For April of this year, you can see that our reportable numbers are 601,823 kilowatt hours, which again seems a little low compared to previous years. But the bulk of our annual service work occurred during April. You can see that reflected in the availability numbers, 86.8% and 86.3%. Basically, the turbines are doing very well. They're in really good shape, and hope to continue that trend.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chair, just a question. John, is there any, there obviously must not be a way to go back and capture the SCADA historical data?
You know, that I really couldn't answer. I don't know the answer
okay.
to that one.
Otherwise, I was just, because the, obviously the 15-16 data is the old, is on a different scale, so I mean.
I'd really have to go back and ask our electrical engineering staff if they could go back, and if you'd prefer, we can go back and update all of the previous numbers.
We can pull them from our ES 400 system. And I've done the review of the Oregon numbers, and they're within 10 kilowatt hours. So if you'd like us to fill those in, that would be easy.
I mean, is that going to be a pretty labor-intensive thing to do? Okay. It, I guess for comparability, it'd be nice to have the data, the chart show that. Otherwise, we could take out the two previous years and just, but I like the idea of going back if we can.
Yeah, I can do that this afternoon.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I think the new numbers, although maybe slightly less favorable, certainly more accurate, I think is good. So to be able to see that is helpful. Michelle, you maybe alluded to this, or John, but the number of variation between the old numbers and new, I mean, it's pretty close then, or do we have a rough percentage in terms of the difference?
Actually, they were, and that I was part of that conversation why they were so different with the feeding from the meter on the turbine versus what's coming through our SCADA system. And now that they're pulling a different way, they're within 10 kilowatt hours. So previously, there was a bigger difference, and that's what raised the question. But now they're almost right on par with each other.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on the wind turbine reports? All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Item number five, work session follow-up items. We're going to take a look at the first section there, the power plant depreciation schedule, and Denise has got this one.
Thank you. During the work session, the question was asked, what are we still depreciating at the power plant? So I've just pulled the listing off of our computer system, which gives you each detailed item. And if you look in the very last column where it says annual depreciation, those items that have dollar amounts in there are the ones that are still depreciating. And there's a couple of pages here. One item to note, the largest item that we still have on the listing that we're still depreciating is the Burns and McDonald study that we did back in, or completed back in 2015 for $440,000. That's about $44,000 a year that we're depreciating as part of that $255,000 that I had alluded to on that one cost schedule. You'll see the total of all this is actually $245,000, the difference being I had calculated out what the depreciation would be on the new cooling tower if we were to invest in that, because that's what that whole analysis was about. So that's the $10,000 roughly difference.
Denise, regarding that Burns and McDonald study and the cost there, does that include both versions? Because I believe there's one in, I want to say 2010, and then an update in 2015?
That I'm not sure. I know that this final date of when this was capitalized was December 31st of 2015, so that would make sense that that was probably the original and then the updated version. I don't really have any way of going back and checking that because the first one would have started on the old AS400 system, and this is what's in the NIST system.
Sure.
So.
Thank you. Any other questions on the depreciation schedule?
Mr. Chair, just Denise, just a couple questions. So, per reference, building and improvements, is that a 33-year or is that a 20?
The building and improvements, I believe, are on the 33-year.
Okay, and then equipment, is that 7 years or is that 10?
They are all on a percentage as well, but I know the percentage is higher because obviously that is not going to last as long. And same with, you can tell that Burns and McDonald study is also on an accelerated schedule.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Denise. Next item, the GRE power supply contracts. We wanted to make sure that those were included in the 2014 rate study. Chris?
Yes. As soon as we got out of the meeting last week, I went directly to the model, and you can see very clearly that in 2016 was the year that the GRE contract, well, the old contract ended and the new contract began on January 1st, 2016. So, and it states on there the 14 megawatts off peak and the 20 megawatts off peak. And so I just wanted to make sure that everybody can see that for themselves, that it is in the model.
Thank you, and I stand corrected.
Oh, you're fine.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. There's a couple points of confusion on that, and so this helps clarify that, so thank you. Any other questions on that? Very good. Next item, we're looking at the 20 largest district heating customers, and we'll pass this one back to Denise.
Thank you. The question also came up with the district heating. If we started losing customers, how would those customers affect our revenue? So we've created a list of the top 20 customers, the revenue for the year, and you can see customers 1 through 4, the very top customer is over 41% of the revenue. The second one is just under 16%. The next one's just under 12, and the next one's just under 10. The top four customers amount for 78.33% of the revenue. And the summary on the bottom shows residential revenue accounts for 10%, small commercial another 10%, and those four large commercial are actually large commercial are 80%. It's more than four on that, I guess. So I don't know if there's any questions on that.
I've got one question, either Denise or John. I remember from discussion, there's two of the top four or five, I believe, that are already looking at moving away.
Commissioner Mattern, that is correct. We were notified about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that they were considering a different heat source, and on the customer ranking, it would be customer two and customer four.
Did we have any kind of timeline at all from those customers?
I think one of them is in the process because they're doing a lot of remodeling. We haven't received notice yet. And the other customer is in the process of preparing plans and specifications, and they will be going to bid shortly here. So.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Thank you, Denise. Appreciate that. Next item, cooling tower number two, repair cost and capacity value, again for Denise.
Thank you. This is the same summary that we've seen in the previous two planning committee meetings, or work session meetings. And basically what we have done now is shifted the timeline down to July 1st, 2020. So we would have 2 years, the 2018 to 2019 planning year and the 2019 to 2020. With the capacity sales, we've put those amounts in there. We've also included the approximately $160,000 cost of doing the NRIS study with MISO and the $350,000 for the cooling tower replacement. Taking into account the capacity sales revenue that could be generated after making the $350,000 investment, we would still be at a loss of $333,000. Down to the bottom of the page, it shows 2020 to 2021 planning year. Again, we would generate on the capacity agreement $198,000. And at that point, with District Heat being shut down, there's a potential of $964,000 of capacity only power plant costs, which would bring us to a $1.1 million cumulative loss after the $350,000 investment on the cooling towers. Again, that does not include the depreciation and then the insurance rating that we've talked about and the bond rating that we've talked about in the past.
Thank you, Denise. I know one of the complexities with this matter is we're looking at trying to coincide this to some extent with the district heating issue, but as we know beyond that, then we have the future of the power plant, which will be coming up for future discussion, and how that all plays into this, it really makes things a little bit messy for us right now. So a lot to certainly consider here on this particular topic. I'm going to take the liberty just for a moment, since I see that Michael is here today. I know he's not on the agenda, but Michael, did you have any comments that you maybe wanted to add, just kind of a follow-up to some of the discussion we've been having on this?
Not really, and I didn't put a lot of thought into it, but I can tell you that this group of customers would probably be interested in going out further on a capacity transaction other than just a couple of years. And, I mean, that could be written such where it'd be like an option or something like that. So that would give you a little bit more flexibility in your decisions. And I guess that would be about the only thing I could add, you sure. know, at this stage of the game.
Again, we appreciate the work that you put into this as well in your presentation last week. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions on this particular item?
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, we will have to make a decision on this on the May 22nd agenda. Is that correct?
Yeah. John, maybe you've got some additional comments to add as well then.
Thank you, Commissioner Manner. Yes, that is correct. May 22nd, we have a 60-day window from the time we open bids, which puts us, John, Mr. Folkadal, puts us about June 1st, somewhere in there. I know it's before our next commission meeting when the 60 days expire. So we're hoping to have a recommendation in front of the commission on the May 22nd meeting. We're still researching a few options with our ability to market that capacity. We talked about at the work session. After the work session, Chris had reached back out to MISO, and they are looking into what alternatives or possibilities there are for marketing that capacity if we enter into our capacity agreements that Mr. Comas submitted to us. So, and Mr. Comas also had gave us some advice or suggestions on where to look or who to ask. So more to come at the 22nd meeting.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Bleek.
Yeah, the understanding of that MISO study for $160,000, is that something that we absolutely have to do if we were to replace the cooling tower and try and market this capacity, or was that a just an optional study that we would have to do if we want to go on to market differently, yep. in front of the meter rather than behind?
Oh, Commissioner DeBlee, good question. We have to do the study whether we're in front of the meter or behind the meter if we want to put the capacity on the market. That's what MISO, that's what GRE is telling us at this point in time. However, that is the question that there is some differences in opinion on what we have to do. So we're trying to provide some clarity to that piece. Do we or do we not need to do that study? If we have to do that study, that's at a minimum of 18 months, or from what MISO is telling us, we're about 18 months out in the queue, and it'll take maybe 2 to 3 months to do the study. So we're hoping to have clarity by the 22nd meeting whether we have to do that study or not. So is there anything more to add?
So. Okay, thank you, John.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Any other questions? All right, that covers item number 5. We are down to the general manager's report, John.
All right, thank you. A couple things I'd like to make note of. We have Janelle Johnson is attending the APPA conference here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We have been awarded the RP3 designation, and not to take away from Janelle's presentation at the next meeting, I would just like to or just mention that we're receiving that. It's been kept confidential. We cannot do a press release until after today when we receive the award tonight, but it's a very prestigious award. So more to come on that next meeting. Just wanted the commission to be aware of it in the event you hear about it, or Carol, I know, is heading to an APPA conference, that she's aware of it when she gets to the conference in the event it's brought up. Next, we have a senior from Wilmer High School, Alexander Miner. He's been renamed a recipient of the Missouri River Scholarship, a $1,000 scholarship is what he received. We are an associate member of Missouri River, therefore students from our school can apply for their scholarship program. And coincidentally, he also applied for one of our summer part-time positions, and he's a successful recipient of one of our summer part-time as well. So he'll be receiving $1,000 from Missouri River. In addition, we do not have listed on here, but I was informed this morning that Jessica Skindelen from Wilmer here, senior, has received the $750 scholarship from Wilmer here, and there it's a essay that they have to write, a 500 word essay regarding utility, and that was submitted to MMUA along with Anna Backus. She received $250 from, or will be receiving $250 from Wilmer, and her scholarship or her essay that she wrote was not submitted, as only each utility can only submit one to MMUA. So Jessica was, and I believe MMUA has finished, and she was not the recipient of the state association, so she'll just be receiving ours. So that's on a scholarship. Then on the third bullet, planning committee meeting will be coming up, so please watch your iPads for that meeting. We're moving along with the water treatment plant, and we're trying to coordinate some dates between the city's consultant and our consultant. So once we have three, four dates to pick from, we'll be pushing it out to the planning committee, and we'll set that up, and there will be an update on the status of our water treatment plant project. Also, that's not listed on here with the outcome of our meeting today. There will be a labor committee meeting request as well sent out. We need to start talking about a succession plan for our power plant people so that we move forward with that. We tentatively have a date now of July of 2020, and we need to retain our employees at least until that date or longer if we continue to run the plan. So we need to discuss the severance package and present that to our employees so that we retain them. Along with job descriptions, we've also talked about at the Labor Committee, our job descriptions, and that's more fluid because we don't know what positions will all be open between now and that time period. However, we do have some openings presently, and we'll have to talk about if we're able to hold them open until 2020 or what opportunities will be coming. So there'll be a Labor Committee meeting pushed out as well. Unless there's any other questions on the general manager's report, that would be it.
Thank you, John. Any questions? All right, anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I would look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe we need that email.